Last week I talked to you about the vision for Maranatha in 2018. It's a two-part vision, equipping and service. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, this is what it says. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Let me break that down for you. Jesus gave gifts to the church in the form of people. You can't have these gifts without them being inhabited by people. Does that make sense? Jesus gave people gifts so that the body can come together, be unified in thought, be unified in spirit, be unified in deed, and everybody gets to grow up. It's about maturity. Jesus gave gifts to the body so that we could all grow up and serve this world. Because you've got to be mature. You have got to be a mature person if you are going to take this faith out of the idealism, out of the philosophy, out of the this is a thought process, into this is who I am and what I believe, and then take that out into the world. I don't know if you've noticed recently, the world is not our biggest fan. I know there's lots of statistics out there, depending on who you talk to, that say that we are still a Christian nation, that 85% of America says that, you know, they're Christian. I challenge you to go out there and ask somebody what being a Christian means. Lots of folks are just going to kind of give you a stone face. Well, you know, I haven't really thought about it. Are you a Christian? Well, yes. What does that mean? I'll never forget sitting with a couple for counseling, and they said, we are both Christians. And I said, that is outstanding. You know, what do you guys do? I do this, I do that. We started living together a few years ago. Okay. Tell me about that. And then came to discover that their faith was that they went to church every once in a while. That was their faith. But they were Christians because they felt like if every once in a while you ducked into a building with a steeple on it that had maybe a cross, that was it. That was really the totality of it. We have got to be mature. We have got to know what it is that we believe and why we believe it, folks. We have got to have a reason for the hope that we have in our hearts. Peter says, always be ready to give people a rational reason why you have hope. That's hard, isn't it? Because try to explain God to somebody. That's hard. I've been in ministry for a long time, and I still get kind of nervous when people begin to ask me, like, serious theological questions. Because I know at some point in time, we're going to have the Santa Claus discussion. You know what I mean? At some point in time, somebody's going to look at me and go, God's kind of like Santa Claus, isn't he? I mean, everybody believes, but nobody's ever really seen it. And then you have to start talking about, it can be challenging. It's a lot easier to come in here on a weekly basis and get what we need for us and for ours, and then to just hope and pray that nobody ever crosses our path who really has a desire to know God, because we feel like we don't have the answers to it. We never want to be in a place where we don't have the answers to questions that people ask, because first and foremost, we don't want to be embarrassed, and secondly, we don't want to get it wrong. The last thing I want to do is create a cult in Walmart because somebody asked me where I go to church. You know what I'm saying? Just because we don't know what it is that we believe and why we believe it. So often, our faith is very emotionally based, and there is nothing wrong with that. Listen, a man died for you. You should feel something about that. You should feel some type of way about somebody who was willing to take a death for you, to die for you in the most horrific way you can think of. You should feel something about that. But faith just shouldn't be an emotional pursuit. It should be an intellectual acceptance and understanding. And that's hard, but that's a mature believer. That's why we do what we do on a weekly basis. It's not just to come together in fellowship, although that is incredibly important. We are not meant to walk this alone. If you are out there doing this by yourself, I feel for you, my brother, my sister. If you are one of those God and God alone, all I need is Jesus and I don't need anybody else, I say this with all the love in my heart, you are not living a biblical life. All we need is, isn't Jesus enough? Jesus is enough. All we need is Jesus. I mean, Jesus is the one ingredient, right? If it's just me and Jesus, that's all that I need. I don't need people. Wrong. Apart from the body, you have no function. I've kind of made jokes about this before. Let's just say let's just say, let's just kind of anthropomorphize this. That means think of cartoon characters in your mind, okay? Let's just say that the church is all one body and we've kind of walked together around this one body. If you looked and you saw a finger lying on the ground, just a finger, you'd be like, what are you doing? I love Jesus. I'm part of the body of Christ. Clearly, you are not. You are a finger. If you saw just an ear, if you saw, does that make sense? I can keep on going and going. The body of Christ is one body. It's one, this one thing made up of so many parts. It can't just be you and Jesus. I'm sorry. You can't be healthy that way, and you can't live a biblical lifestyle. You are meant, created, designed to be in community with the thing that makes you the craziest, other people. You're fine with just you and Jesus. It's just when you get around other people that things start to go sideways. If that's true for you, can I just say lovingly that maybe the challenge for you might be looking back at you in the mirror? Maybe your greatest challenge is yourself. Maybe there's something happening with you. That's a different sermon for a different time. In Ephesians, Paul is telling us that the body is a group of people given gifts to grow and to serve. We are equipped to serve. He says the word saints. I don't know how you feel about that word, because I'm no saint. There's no way I'm a saint. I'm sorry. There's no way. When my book of life is open, there are chapters that I'm praying that he just kind of like, just out of love and grace, like skips over. You just be reading, be like, oh, let me skip to chapter 7. Where you turned your life around and came back to me. Like, I know that's not going to happen. But I don't feel that way. But here's the thing. Once you accept Jesus, you're considered a saint because of what he did for you. So when he says saints, don't disconnect from that, because you are, even though you've got a past and you've got sin and all that kind of stuff, you are a saint in the making. You are in the process of becoming whole, complete, and perfect the way that he created you to be. Sinless. You know, eventually we'll be sinless. Thank you, God. Eventually we'll be sinless. Not on this side, but on that side eventually we will. So you are a saint in the making. And Paul is saying, listen, get it in your mind that you're in this process of being equipped to serve. And different gifts have been given to different people in the body. I had to decide over the years that people can have more of one of those gifts in evidence. Because that's just how it works, and that's okay. I say that because I'm your pastor. In every way that a pastor is described by Scripture, I am your pastor. I care for you to the best of my ability. I watch you. I think about you. I pray for you. I do all of those things. I try to be available. Sometimes something happens in, you know, your life, and I don't get the phone call, and that's okay. But please don't be upset with me later because you didn't tell me what was happening. Please don't be mad. Call somebody who will then tell me, and then I'll show up with whatever I can show up with to help you. I'm a pastor in every way that is described in Scripture, but I'm also a teacher. I have a love for Scripture, and I have a desire for people to know God better because of what's in His Scripture. I know I'm supposed to be a teacher. I thought I was going to be an English literature teacher for a lot of years. That's really what I thought. My junior year in high school, I was like, this is what I think. I loved English lit. I loved it. I loved to read. That I could quote some chunks of poems and all that kind of stuff. I thought it was great. I wanted to be an English lit teacher. And then about 5 years later, I still haven't graduated from college. I'm grinding out this English literature degree at Georgia State University downtown, and I'm failing miserably. I'm in my 800 level. I'm in my 800 level classes, and my GPA is just sinking. It's like somebody let the plug out, and the water is just because I'm just not happy. I was supposed to be a teacher. I just had the subject wrong. I had the wrong literature. Wasn't supposed to be about Renaissance and French poetry. It was supposed to be about the Word of God. So, as we begin moving forward in our vision for this year, which is going to be a year of equipping and service, I have to begin with God's Word. Because for believers, once salvation happens for you, maybe there are people out there who read the Bible first and then become saved. I'm sure that there are folks who have that testimony. I feel like in my personal experience and vicariously, what I have seen happens with people is that they are drawn to something. There's a feeling for them or there's a thought for them, and they become a part of a service or they become a part of the church. And eventually what happens, sometimes it's quick and sometimes it can take years. What happens is people decide, you know what, this God is real, and I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And then Scripture becomes a part of their walk, becomes a part of their hopefully daily routine, becomes a part of their life. That's it's after that whole salvation piece where you really try to begin to dig in to God's Word. And I say dig in because if you've ever tried to read this thing, it's no joke. This is not for light reading, ladies and gentlemen. This is not what I would call a beach read. You know what I mean? I'm not saying don't take your Bible to the beach. Do not do that. If you listen, take your Bible out to the beach. I'll start a conversation. Everybody's out there with their summer reads, and you're out there with your giant, and you're with your concordance and all of your. I'm just kidding. Although if you do that, you'd be my hero. Take a picture of that. You'd be my hero. It's deep. This is not for light reading. There's so much truth in here to be learned and to be lived. We've got to start with this. We've got to start with getting to know God's Word. Now, I'm looking out, and I know some of you folks have been walking with the Lord for a long time. And I know that you have learned over the course of that time that this has got to be a part of your life. Yeah. I know for some people who have heard this so many times, once they engage God's Word and then stop, something is missing for them. Once people engage God's Word, they're able to tell a difference in the way that their day goes. It's wild. It's wild what God can do. You start your day with Scripture, and somehow, even though it's a tough day and you have to deal with people, at the end of the day, you feel differently than you do if you don't start your day with it. Or if you, at some point in time, don't engage God's Word. It starts with God's Word. There's something about God's Word. And I know I'm putting my hand on a paper Bible. That's because I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. If you don't have a paper Bible, you'll get in somehow. Just kidding. I need to stop making that joke. I'm a big fan of the old school way of doing things because there's so much in here. You can write your notes and highlight stuff. That's just me. The Word of God is so incredibly important. Let me give you some verses today. The Word of God has been important since it's been thousands of years. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says this. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Even back then, thousands of years before Christ, the Word of God was bringing prosperity and success into the lives of His people. Even back then, this is Joshua. If you don't know who he is, he succeeded Moses. If you don't know who Moses is, good grief. Come talk to me and I'll give you the basics, the cliff notes on that. Moses, big time leader for the Israelites, brought them out of a place called Egypt, stepped over some water, threw some water. Joshua followed him. Joshua's telling his people, listen, God's Word will bring prosperity and success into your life. David, a king, the only person ever to be called a man after God's own heart. Psalm 119, 10 and 11, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When God's word gets into you, it becomes protective against the foolishness and the shenanigans of the world. When God's word is in you, it comes out at you in times when you desperately need help that nobody else can give to you. When you desperately need something that nobody else can bring into your life. Psalm 119 again, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. We were talking in Bible study the other night that without the Scripture, we would all be in the dark wandering around. Wandering around just trying to find the right way to go. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of God endures forever. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. This is Jesus speaking. Okay? This is not Joshua, great guy. This is not David, also great guy. This is not Isaiah, but these are men of great faith. They're the heroes of old. This is Jesus himself, Matthew 4, 4. But he answered and said, and when he answered, he's talking to Satan. This is not a street conversation. He's not sitting at somebody's house having dinner. He's out in the wilderness being tempted by the devil himself. Satan incarnate is out there tempting Jesus. But he answered Satan and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If Jesus quoted Scripture to the devil, I don't have a stronger argument than that. I can't convince, there's nothing, that doesn't convince you. If the fact that Jesus the Savior quoted Scripture is not enough to convince you of the importance and the power of Scripture, go have an early lunch. God bless you. I got nothing else for you. The power of Scripture, it's got to be in your life. If the very Son of God quoted Scripture as a protection against the enemy, you've got to know the Word of God. Romans 15:4. This is Paul. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. There is hope in God's Word. Not the kind of hope like, I hope somehow my Bulldogs get back to the national championship next year. Not that kind of hope, which I know is a vain hope. I know that. I know it. It's going to be a rebuilding year. I'm off topic. Hope. Real hope. Real hope. Hope that you can put all of your love and all of your anticipation and all of your energy in. Real hope. The Scripture brings us hope. In one of his letters to Timothy, who was his number one guy. Timothy was the guy that Paul wanted. He was doing everything he could to reproduce himself, to replicate himself in Timothy. This is what he said to Timothy. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. There's nothing in here that doesn't have value. Nothing. There's no part of this YouTube video that you are going to want to skip through. There's nothing in this story that won't, on some level, somehow be helpful for you. It's good from the front to the back, from the beginning to the end, and all the stuff in between. And the writer of Hebrews says this: For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is no stronger element in the world than the Word of God. It's your number one defense and also weapon against the enemy. Against doubt. Against confusion. Against hurt. Against anything that might come against you. The Word of God is living. It's not a dead. This thing is not a dead. It's not just a tome of ancient words written by people that will never know this side of the grave. That's not what this is about. It's not a book that's no longer in print because it's no longer relevant. This is not a coming-of-age story that's going to lose its efficacy over the years. It's living and active and is life-changing and can bring you all the things that all the men and women through the generations of history will attest to. Got to know the Word. What we do in here on Sundays is important. And I'm going to do what I can through this year to preach and teach the things that God gives me, specifically so that you will be equipped to serve. But it's got to start with God's Word. Bill's the only person saying amen. God bless you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. I'm not normally, I'm just waiting for somebody to go, oh, okay, that is correct. And so be it. That's what an amen means. And I know that it is a challenge. I know that God's Word can be a challenge. I know that the average Joe would say, I tried to read it, but it was too... I know that. I don't know if you've noticed, but over the years, things have changed. With the advent of technology, which is a blessing and a curse, things have changed. The first tool that I want to give you this morning, and I'm going to try to go fast today, but I'm going to need you to bear with me, because we're going to move from Scripture to practicality, okay? We're going to go from talking about Scripture and talking about the Word of God in its purity, right? We're going to talk about a couple of tools that I want to give you that if you have them, they are going to help equip you for the work that God is going to call you to do this year, for the service that God wants you to be involved in. This is the first one. It's called YouVersion. This is good for Apple stuff or for Android stuff. You can get this on your tablet. You can get this on your computer. You can get this on your phone. If you are in here this morning, if somehow you have resisted the electronic age, then God bless you. Just buy one of these. They still make these. You can get these in every flavor, color, size, and print size on Amazon. Just get one of these. If you just refuse, if your phone still flips open, this is not going to be good for you. No offense. No offense. I love a flip phone. I love a flip phone. If you don't have a smartphone, that's okay. If your phone is dumb, that's fine. You can get this online. You can go to youversion.com and find this. And then you can start an account if you want to. In that account, you can do all kinds of things. You can save Scripture. You can do... lots of you probably have had this. You've seen it. You can make Scripture verses and put pictures to them. There's all kinds of crazy stuff that you can do with it. But the best thing to me about this is that there are literally thousands of devotionals available to you in your hand like that. And the topics are from A to Z. And the writers, they're pulling these from the best pastors And the best preachers and teachers in the world, they're pulling this stuff and they're putting it together. You can get a one day. You can go just do a one day. You can do a 2 day, 4 day, 7 day, 30 day. Ooh, what? 30 days? And the YouVersion, if you've got it on your phone, it will actually encourage you. It'll be like, you have a 7 day streak. Which I'm not going to lie, I was just having a conversation about this the other day. That's a little obnoxious because then when I break my streak, I feel like somehow I failed God. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we missed you yesterday. You hush up, you virgin. Anyway, it's an incredible tool that you can use. There are different folks in our congregation that I have read alongside with. I have said, hey, let's read this together. Our leadership has done that. Our leadership does that every year for camp. Sometimes even for spring retreat, I'll send it out and say, this is the plan I'm going to read. This is the devotional length. It's 21 days. I'm going to start on this day and I'll be done by this day. Join me so that we can be thinking about and praying for the same thing. This is a powerful tool in your hands. And it is free. It's free. And if you've got electronics, except for the dumb phones, if you've got electronics, you can have this in some way, shape, or form. But what I really want to focus on today is a tool that we got invested in a lot of years ago called Right Now Media. RightNowMedia.org. And we got involved when they were just barely getting off the ground. They had a measly 2,000 teaching videos on there. Now they have over 18,000. How many of you got an email from Right Now Media this week? Somebody? A few of you? Okay, some of you did. You've got a little slip of paper. Hopefully you got one of those and it's got a website on it. That's a survey. Here's what I would like you to do this afternoon when you go home. Answer this survey so that I can have your email, so that I can send out the invitation for you to join rightnowmedia.org. It is free. You can create your own account. Let's show the video.
Our church is a light in the darkness, a city on a hill. Every believer is called to make a difference in the world, to love God completely, and to make disciples of every nation. But in this busy, mobile, noisy world, it can be difficult to even do the basics, to pray, to read the Word, to bring the love of God to our marriages, families, neighbors, and co-workers. We know you're here because you want to be a part of God's mission on the earth. You want to experience the abundant life that Scripture talks about. You're looking to connect your faith to every part of your life, every day of the week. That's why our church is subscribing to Right Now Media and making it available for free to every member of our church. You'll have access to over 10,000 online Bible study videos on parenting, marriage, finance, discipleship, leadership, and many more. The videos can be used in Bible study groups or for personal devotion. There's also a huge library of safe biblical kids videos. We'd love to see every member of our church utilizing Right Now Media. Small group leaders leading their adult or youth groups through engaging Bible study series. Children enjoying safe programming that doesn't just entertain, but helps lay a strong spiritual foundation. Families spending quality time together, going through devotional Bible studies. Couples using biblical studies on marriage, parenting, and finance. Applying God's Word to every area of their lives. There is something for everyone. We want to help you grow as a disciple of Christ, and we want to help you become a disciple maker in your home, your school, your workplace, your neighborhood, in whatever mission field God has called you to. We believe that this free resource will help equip and unleash you to live out your faith in every area of life, to experience God-centered, abundant life, not just on Sundays, but every day. We are for you, and God is for you. He wants to empower you every day to live for Him. Together, we can be a light in the darkness, a city on a hill.
The church pays monthly for a subscription to this, but we don't pass along any of that cost to you. And I can't, this is the best tool that I've got, folks. I can't be with you in your homes all the time. I can't come and lead a personal devotion for you every day of the week. But you can. You can take responsibility for your faith and for your walk, for your family, for your life, and for your future, and really start to get some stuff out of God's Word. The reason that I think that this is so incredibly powerful and important for us as a body and as a community is because it's geared for everyone. And I mean everybody over all different kinds of topics. I mean all different kinds of topics. There is everything out there. If you have something, you can search for all different kinds of things. To give you an idea, it's basically like Netflix. It's like Christian Netflix, more or less. You know what I mean? Or like Christian Hulu. You can download the app. You can get it right on your laptop, which is easy. But you can get the app, so it's on my phone right now. You can stream on your phone, Apple or Android. It's both of those platforms. Again, if you don't have a smartphone, you're kind of left out. But if your phone is smart enough, you can watch this stuff on your phone, on your tablet, wherever you are, 24 hours a day. Every once in a while, the site will go down because of maintenance issues, right? But that's pretty much any kind of interface like this. I don't even know. To be honest with you, it's going to seem overwhelming. And here's what I know. If you feel overwhelmed by something, you're just going to back off from it. If I were to give you some kind of manual to go by, it'd be pages and pages and pages. Here's what I'm hoping that you'll do. I'm hoping that this week you will go home at least one day for 1 hour. Don't tell me you don't have an hour. I know you do. You have an hour watching some TV program. You got an hour to be on your phone looking at all the burning garbage on Facebook. You've got an hour you can spare. You've got an hour somewhere just for an hour. And to be honest with you, I feel like an hour is a long time. Even if you only have a half an hour, there's so much that you can find out on this site. You can look at everything on the site. There's Bible studies, kids' episodes. There are conference sessions that they live stream. Right now, media.org has conferences all over the United States and some globally. I don't think we get access to the out-of-state ones or out-of-country ones. But when they have sessions that they stream, you can go and watch real-time teaching of some of the best and the brightest in the body of Christ who are preaching and teaching, who are world changers. You can go to these little things. You don't even have to click. I know everybody fears the click. If you just hover over something, sometimes it will give you just a short description. Once you click on it, it'll take you to a next page. And if it's a list of videos, there's a trailer there, just like the movies. If you're like, I don't want to get involved in this, I don't know what it's about, then you go to the trailer and you click on the trailer, and in 2 minutes or less, it'll tell you what this study is about. Well, Pastor, what if I don't like the study? Then quit. You don't have to finish the study. You're not locked in. I'm not Big Brother. I'm not saying on my computer, well, they quit the hope study. I guess they're hopeless. That's not happening. They haven't gone to the faith section. I guess they're people without faith. That's not what this is about. I'm not the hall monitor. I'm not the principal. This is about you being able to engage God's word. And the reason that I like this so much is that it gives you the word, and then it gives you a lot of practical application. You will hear what people's stories are. You will hear the best teachers talk about what God has spoken to them and through them out of these verses of Scripture. You can get Scripture every day, 2, 3, 4 minute bites. And then I think once you really begin to get interested, some of these video series which have 20 minutes, Pastor, I can't watch a 20 minute video about Jesus. Really? But you can go pay $17 for one ticket and sit down in 2.5 hours for a movie. You can do that though. $17 for one ticket. Have you noticed that? You can go to the matinee for $11, but then you've got to get there at like 12. Who goes and sees a movie at 12 o'clock? We can sit and watch. We will watch the same stuff on YouTube. We'll sit. When TBS starts playing their greatest hits, you know you've seen the movie 18 times. You can quote parts of it. You'll sit there and just let it wash over you. You've got 20 minutes to listen to somebody teach you something that can be so helpful and bring so much hope into your life. I know that this is... I hope you're bearing with me here, because I know I'm your pastor, and pastors are supposed to preach the gospel and teach God's word. I hope that what you're doing is taking an opportunity to see this thing that can be so helpful for you. You can create your own list of stuff. Once you have your own account, you can just start adding things to your queue. Sometimes you may go to something and you click on it and it doesn't have any information. That's because it's so brand new. All they did was they put a placeholder for it. Don't panic. Don't feel like God has failed you. This is what I needed in this moment, God, and it's not here. This is worthless. Don't do that. Don't do that. Give this an opportunity. Give this a chance. Spend a half an hour to an hour this week just digging around on this site and see what's available. I can tell you that during the year, I'm going to share with the body very short series, the plural of series, that I'm going to be doing as part of my devotional life so that you can do it with me. I'll say I'm starting on this day. And it's a 7-day thing. I will be watching this every day. Pastor, I already have my own devotion. Do I have to do yours too? Only if you want to be saved. No, that's not true. No, absolutely not. You absolutely do not have to do what I'm doing. I just give you that opportunity so that we as a body, all of us, some of us, one or two of us, can be thinking and praying about the same thing. We can be experiencing God's word at, not the same moment, but in the same program, listening to the same thing, hearing the same teaching, and listening to God speak to us. This is the greatest tool that I can give you for your advancement and your growth and maturity of Christ. Outside of being in here, outside of exposing yourself to the presence of God, first and foremost His presence, and then through His people, and also to the word that I'm going to bring to you every week. This is the biggest tool that I can give you. Maybe you don't podcast other preachers. Maybe that's challenging for you. Maybe you don't like to listen to a 45-minute sermon. That's fine. There's tons of stuff on here. And that's just for the adults. If you're not the Ancient of Days, as some of us are, if you weren't born when the dinosaurs were still walking the earth, and you're just like, this is not going to be relevant to me, that's not accurate. There's an entire section for young people. And by young people, I mean the teens into the 20s. And I know if you're 30, you still think you're young. That's fine. That's fine. If you presume that as a 35-year-old, you're still with that group and not with us yet, I'm okay with that. Be with the younger people. There's all kinds of relevant stuff for every age group. The kids section is enormous. How difficult is it as a parent to find something that you will let your kid watch all of? That's not easy. You have to be so careful. But this stuff is guaranteed to be true and to be focused on God. It's great for kids. I can't say enough. I was going to try to take you through a lot of this stuff. I talked with my elders about this. I said, this is what I think that I'm going to do. And they're like, absolutely go for it. But people are going to need kind of a tutorial. I'll just tell you some of the things. You'll be getting emails from them. Please don't be mad. You can unsubscribe at any time. They're not going to sell your information. You're not going to start getting like magazine subscriptions and stuff like that. Right now is a full-on Jesus-loving Christian group of people. They just want to help you in however they can. You'll get advice and stuff like that. You can watch Right Now Media on a computer, smartphone, tablet, using your Apple or Android TV, Roku, Chromecast, or Amazon Fire TV. It's all there. If you're ever on the site and you are just overwhelmed and you cannot figure out how to get back to the front page, scroll all the way down. There's under the header information, and just click on the help desk. Just ask for help. You click on that and it'll help you, because that's what the help desk does. You can ask questions. You can search for topics. Anger, depression, doubt. You can search for those things. The way that you get started, and I'll just read this quickly because I know I need to be closing up. Accept your invite through the email the church sent by clicking on Get Started. If you didn't get one, use this little thing that you got, this little slip of paper. Fill this out, and we will get your email, and we will get you on the email blast list so you can get this information. I do want you to check your spam and your junk folders. It's possible that because your particular email account didn't recognize this, it shunted it off to spam or junk, or maybe promotions or the social folder. Maybe it got pushed to one of those. Get us your correct email address, and we'll send this to you. Pastor, I don't have email. I don't have a computer. I still make fire with flint and a rock. I love you with all of my heart. This is not going to be helpful for you. But if you need a Bible, I will buy you a Bible. Pastor, I still churn butter. I will get you a Bible. I take a wagon to school, Pastor. I will get you a Bible. And I will make sure it is helpful for you in the right size print and the right size flavor or version. I will help you however I can. We have got to be people of the Bible.
Amen.
Folks, we have got to be people of the Word. We have got to be. And it can't just be here. And it can't just be Sundays. It's got to be in you and in your heart. And I know the challenge of the time frame. And I know the challenge about how, if you've ever been to Leviticus, and I always say Leviticus because it's all the rules and regulations for people who've been dead for centuries. How is this helpful for me? If you've ever tried to get through the Bible, there are places you just get bogged down. I was having a conversation about the book of Job. Job is this incredible story about this guy that God allowed everything to be taken from, who just would not curse God, and then he was blessed beyond measure at the end of it. But from the beginning of the tragedy to the end of the triumph, it's really hard to figure out what these three guys are trying to talk to him about. Like, these are supposed to be his friends, but the conversation just can be, I know the challenge of getting into the Word, but we have got to be people of the Word. I cannot give you what you need in order to be successful in your life of faith. But God's Word can. God's Word can do things for you that I never can. God's Word can protect you from things that you don't even see coming. God's word is good enough for all those who have come before, for everybody now, and for everybody who's going to follow after. It is living and active. And we have got to be people of the word. I want to challenge you this year. Get into it. If you are already involved, then God bless you. You already know the fruits of it. I would say that maybe if you're one of those folks who has a particular devotion that they buy from a particular company or from a particular writer, and that your devotional, habit pattern is just kind of that you wake up in the morning, you do your thing, you have your coffee, or maybe you're, maybe I would challenge you to change how you engage God's word a little bit. Even if this is working for you, even if your daily bread and your Bible and your notepad or just your prayer, even if that is if that's a tried and true system for you, can I just encourage you to engage this? Just see what's out there. Open yourself up a little bit to what God may say to you and speak through you to someone else using another avenue. I'm not saying forsake the old ways of doing things. My mother, every day for 51 years, I'm sure she's been sick time and again. I'm sure God will call her on that when she gets to heaven. But every day, as long as I've known her, my mother has gotten up, done exercises, and then spent about an hour in prayer and devotional reading with God. She has notebooks stacked up with just conversations with the Lord. I'm not about to tell my mama to do it a different way. But I did encourage her to check this out. I just said, Mom, you may. Because my mother has spoken into my life. God has spoken through my mother into my life. And she's got her own way of doing things. I'm not saying forsake the tradition of that. But I am saying maybe stretch yourself a little bit this year. Maybe one of the times, and I'm going to do it quarterly, once a quarter, I'm going to engage one of these series. And I'll just invite you to come with me. And I promise you it won't be a 14-weeker. I promise you it's not going to be a 36-lessoner. I promise you. It'll be doable. You won't think, I'll never get through this. Just come and join me so that we can be thinking and praying about the same thing, that God can be speaking the same thing to us outside of here together. Amen?
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 Amen.
We've got to be people of the Word. We've got to be, folks. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. I pray in Jesus' name. God, I pray in the name of the one who gave his life for us. Father, I pray in the name of the one who is our hope and who is our grace and who is our peace and who is our joy, who is our strength. I pray in the name of the one who loved us enough to die for us, that this year we would engage your word. This year, Father, in new ways. This year, God, we would recommit our lives to you. We would rededicate to you. This year, God, we would stop allowing Sunday to be our only blush with the scripture through the week. This year, Father, we would seek you in a new way. This year, God, we would have the courage to step outside of our own traditions, not to forsake them, not to leave them behind, but just to see what else is out there, just to give you another opportunity to speak to us from a different avenue. I pray, God, that this tool would help us to know you more. In and of itself, God, this tool is just a tool. Without your spirit, it's nothing. Without your presence, it's nothing. Without you, God, it's just another website. But Father, through this tool, with this tool, you can use this to help equip us for the service that you are going to call us to, for the opportunities you are going to present to this body to serve this world. God, we need to be equipped. We've got to grow up in our faith. We've got to mature. And we've got to be people of the Word. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we would engage the Word this year. That it would change us, Father. I don't have to pray for that. I don't have to pray for your word to do what it's designed to do. I don't have to ask you for that. Here's what I know. Anybody who gets in your word will be blessed. Anybody who gets in your word will be changed. Anybody who engages your word will learn about you and about themselves. Anybody who engages the word will have revelation. Anybody who does, because that's what your word does. That's what it does, Lord. We have questions and we have concerns, and sometimes we feel like we're in over our heads when it comes to your Bible. God, I pray that you would just give us the courage and the patience to just engage it on a regular basis. If we are not people of the Word, then what are we doing? If we are not people of the Word, then are we truly your people? And I say that with so much care and concern, because I know what your Word says, that faith is simply, all it is confession and repentance. If we believe that your Son is our Savior. If we confess that with our mouth, then we're saved. If we believe it in our heart, confess it, then we're saved. If we repent and turn the other way from the dumb things we were doing, we're saved. That's it. But I do know, God, that your word is an integral part of us. It has to be. You gave it so that we could learn, so that we could grow, so that we could change, so that we could experience that transformation, becoming the people that you created us to be. Father, I pray when we go home that this week we would find ourselves really curious, even hungry, to engage your word, God. I pray that you would change this body of people. I pray that you would change Maranatha. I pray that you would change everything that Maranatha touches. I pray that you would change it with your word. Change us, God. Change our hearts. Grow us up. We need it so that we can serve you. May we be equipped for service in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you so much for bearing with me through that.